Church, Paul Scanlon's church. And we were at a conference, and we had to leave early to get to the train or the plane station, the airport. And it takes a bit for words to download sometimes. But so we were sort of sneaking out, and we got to the back, and the preaching was going on, and they wouldn't let us out. They wouldn't let us out. And we were like, can we go out? And they said, no, the Lord's word is being preached. Now, eventually we had to wrestle our way out because we were going to be late for the airplane. But it struck me how much honor they placed on God's word. It really did. You know, I'm sure they have lots of rows with people, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure, like, no, I need to go. But the other side of it was, it struck me how much they really, really loved God's word. That they didn't want any disturbances. They didn't want you, well, they didn't want me to miss out on what God could possibly say in a moment. Because you know God's stuff is momentarily stuff. It's like, it just whisks by it. It's a word that lands, and you go, oh, you ever go, I'll remember that when I go home, and you go home and you go, what was it? It's like the moment's gone. It's like that instant that God wanted to say something. And if we don't hold it in such honor, it's like, oh, well, you don't want it. Is that what you're saying to me? Is that what God is saying? God says, is that what you're saying? And then we go home, we go, Lord, you never spoke to me in weeks. And he's like, reminds us of things. We go, oh, maybe I just need to. I just thought it was really, really interesting. You are looking at me real serious now. Let's preach the word. Be recipients of it. Be people that are open to it. God can change us in an instant with this word. So, Father, we just say we honor your word in this place. This is living and active, Lord. And it's powerful. And it's water to our souls. And it's a hammer that breaks chains off of us. And it's a sword that cuts away, Lord God. And it's bread that feeds us. And we thank you for your word, Lord. And we thank you, Father. And we're open for your word, Lord. Father, even the words that I would say, would you take in all of it and just feed us, strengthen us, edify us, set us free, Father. Amen. 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 This is a great morning. I love Easter Sunday morning. Eddie said it last week. I love Easter Sunday morning as well. I love Good Friday. I love the whole lead up into Easter, because without the resurrection, it all hinges on it. Everything, all their Christianity hinges on the resurrection of Jesus. And there's people, just imagine right now, all over the world, celebrating what we're celebrating this morning. That we're not just people that sit here and there's no one else doing this. There's people all over our city, people all over our nation, people all over Europe, people all over Asia, people all over Australia, people all over America, every continent, there's people praising and worshiping God. Not just trickles, like absolutely millions and millions and millions of people right now is probably sitting under the preaching of the Word of God just like us. Absolutely incredible. You know that we were told last week by a guy that spoke out in Bray, Steve Williams. He was saying that there's nations in South America where they, like Bolivia, for instance, there's something like between 50 and 60% of the nation is Christians. 50 and 60% of the nation is Christians. And we sometimes think we're on our own, or this is only, you know, what's happening here. It's happening all over the world, yeah? Why? How? Because of Resurrection Sunday. Because of resurrection. And yet there's people that have gone to church today and it's tradition. Some have gone to church today and they haven't even got a clue what it's about. I found this poem. There's three stanzas in it, and it sums up sometimes the superficiality of people going to church. And particularly on an Easter Sunday morning, because people will go to church on an Easter Sunday morning and a Christmas and a christening and a funeral and a wedding and still leave without knowing the one who was resurrected. Here's the poem. The first one is, on the third day we eat brunch, wear bright dresses, munch on the lamb's leg and swallow the chocolate egg. The sum, that's Easter. On the third day, we sing hymns and go to church. That's if we can get up out of bed. It is possible for Easter to be nothing more than these things. But those who are alive in Christ Jesus, we confess with gratitude the third part of the poem. On the third day, this God of ours recovers from death in a way that changes absolutely everything. But those who are alive in Christ, on the third day, we recognize and understand and have experienced that this God of ours recovers from death, the death, and that makes everything and all changes come to every single thing. Amen? Without resurrection, Calvary was just another political execution of a failed Messiah. Without the resurrection, the world is trapped between the shoulder shrug of the cynic. Without the resurrection, the world is trapped in fantasy. The world is trapped in tyranny. Without the resurrection, there is no reason for good to even imagine that good will overcome evil. Without the resurrection, there's no point of believing that love will outwin hatred or that life will win over death. But with Easter and with the resurrection, we have hope. And not only have we hope, but hope depends on love. And love became a human. And love died on the cross. And love went to a grave. And love is now alive forevermore. Amen. He took love, took the keys of sin and death and hell. And because we know him, not do we just hope, but we know that Jesus had victory. Therefore, we can have victory in our life. Amen. Amen. Two worlds collided. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And darkness lost. And every time light and darkness collide, darkness loses. Every time the kingdom of hell comes against the kingdom of light, the kingdom of hell loses. The Easter message that Paul preached to the early church, I wanted you to turn to Acts chapter 9 in your Bible. And we'll get there in a minute. The message that Paul and the early church preached declares that Jesus Christ is the Savior and he is the Lord of life. They preached that he died a voluntary death and suffered crucifixion as the Savior of the world. They preached that he took and bore the sins of the world upon himself on the cross. But he didn't just die a suffering death, he died as a victorious Savior in voluntary death. He won over sin. He won over death and he won over hell and was raised to newness of resurrection life. The New Testament always links his sovereignty and his suffering as the Lord of life and the victorious Savior. So on the resurrection, we endorse and proclaim the victory of the cross, that he died as our Savior, but now lives as the Lord of the world. And I want to want to talk about resurrection power this morning. That like we are not, like Rob already hit on it earlier on during the song. And I'll show you the scriptures where that came from. And we not just in some traditional mode in it when you come to know Jesus. That his actual resurrection power comes and lives in us. The Bible says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us when we become Christian, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the one who conquered sin, hell, and the grave, his Spirit lives in us. And there was a man in the Bible called Paul. And Paul, he was a Jew. He was a law-abiding Jew in every way. He kept all of the laws of the Jewish tradition, which was absolutely immense to try to keep. Well, he thought he kept them all. When Jesus rose from the dead and the church was birthed, he made it his goal to absolutely decimate the way of the church. If he found a Christian, he'd put them in prison and whatever they'd suffered in prison. When the disciple Stephen was being stoned to death, he stood by holding the jackets. He was a man that absolutely hated what the church stood for. So he's going off, and in chapter 9, it tells some of his story. It says, meanwhile, his name was Saul at this stage. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for a letter to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there who belonged to the way, that's what they called the church, the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. 3 days seems to be a familiar period in the Bible, doesn't it? In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, saying, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man named Tarsus, from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man." Basically, he was saying, "Get up out of that." "I've heard reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here and with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer in my name, for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.'" Resurrection power. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. That this Saul, who was breathing out murderous threats and carrying them out to the church, had an experience with the risen Jesus. He wasn't Jesus that was put in a tomb and was left there. It wasn't Jesus that was put in a tomb and some might think that he was taken away by his disciples. But this Paul, this Saul, this man that was a Jew of Jew was going along and he had an encounter with Jesus. And when he met Jesus, Jesus knocked him off his high horse, knocked him off his place of pride, knocked him off the place of his own authority or the authority of the priest. And he put him down on his back and he received something from Jesus that absolutely has revolutionized the whole world. That he seen more than anyone else. In the New Testament, he wrote more than anyone else in the New Testament. In fact, he was shown things by God that God had to say, "You're banned from actually telling anybody what you've just seen." He was the one that went to the pinnacle of maturity in Christ Jesus, as far as we can see in the scriptures. He has said things that has revolutionized. You ever get a letter and someone says something in a letter that really touched you or changed the way you thought? There's been millions reading his writings under the power of the Holy Spirit, that lives are absolutely transformed by this same Saul, this same Paul, that seen and experienced and seen reflected in the life of Jesus and reflected it to the world, the resurrection power that was explosive and dynamic when the Holy Spirit came in to live in him. And just like Paul, just like Jesus impacted Paul's life, that's the way he comes in and impacts our lives. And if we settle for anything less than an impactful Jesus coming to impact our lives, I want to tell us, according to the scriptures, we are settling for something that's below what God has for us. If I settle for living in fear, there's a couple of things around fear. Someone says to me, "Do you not fear anymore?" No. Of course I fear. I fear the things that I ought to fear. But with things I shouldn't fear, I now have a choice. Where before Jesus impacted my life, I had no choice. But now I choose, do I buy into it? Or do I buy into the resurrected life and the resurrection power that Jesus has given me? So I could be either listening and believing a lie that says I'm never going to get out of this. Or worse, I might settle there, I don't want to get out of it. But here's the reality of the resurrection. There is a way out now. There is a way out. We hadn't got a way out before Jesus. We may have pampered the old nature. We may have sort of accommodated it. Like Bree did you tonight when she was sharing her testimony. Good Friday stories. She sent out panic attacks that had gripped her. They gripped her in a place where she was working, cutting hair. She loves being a hairdresser. But because the panic attack happened in the hairdressers, she had this thought that every time I go in now to the hairdressers, I'm going to have the panic attack. Anyone relate to it? I certainly do. I certainly know what it's like to be crippled with panic attacks. These days. But I have a choice. And she said, when someone asked to describe it, she said, I described it like when it comes on me, it's like a spider inside of me, like just growing and growing. She says she comes to know Jesus and she realized that she could crush the spider. See, beforehand, she stopped doing the hairdressing. She accommodated the fear. The fear was, don't go there, that's where it's going to happen. She comes to know Jesus, she makes a decision. I buy into this, or I believe and stand in the resurrection power of Jesus. That's the choice we have now. That's the choice when he impacts our life. That's what he gives us now. That's what we can now live with in all of our lives. When a person is born of the Spirit of God, we now can make decisions that we couldn't make before. We do not have to live in poverty thinking, poverty mentality, because of who he is. Because Rob said it, it's in Romans 6. It says this, that we were buried with him when he died. But in his resurrection, we are raised with him. So we make a decision that we live in our sin and death, or we understand, ask God for understanding, gain understanding, that I don't have to live according to the old man or the old nature, because he is dead. I wish I would have known this when I first became a Christian. Someone says to me, I heard you became a Christian. Me ma, all my brothers was there. I know I got holy. Do you know, if it was now, I'd like to think, I would have jumped up and said, ma, I'm a new creation. I'm a new man. I don't have to live according to the old that was for the last 22 years. I now can live according to the new man, the new creation, the new way of living that God has created for me. Because all my old self was buried with him. And when he rose again, that the new man was raised with him. So I have no obligation anymore to the old way of thinking, unless I give and give an obligation. Do you get me? I don't have to be an addict anymore. I don't have to be an alcoholic anymore. I don't have to be living in fear. I don't have to be living with twisted thinking. I don't have to live with perversion. I don't have to live with lust. I don't have to live with anger. I don't have to. Before I had to because I had no choice. But when Jesus comes in, the resurrection power comes in, now I have choice and I choose to do it. Or I step into the new man and go, I'm living according to it. Is it easy? But it's available. And that's why Paul says, put the old man to death every day. Tell you why, because the old man believes in resurrection as well. And when I give my old man power of the resurrection, I don't like Noah. I don't like the way I think. I don't like the way I treat people. But when I put that sucker to death, no, I'm not living according to that. And I'm not just talking about sinful things. I'm even just talking about the old nature, the old mind. The old mind that says, you're no good, you're not accepted, everyone hates you. That's old. And if you're buying into that, you know what you're living in? Death. Because even if I don't like you, I want to tell you there's someone that likes you. Even if we don't accept you and you don't feel accepted, there's someone that accepts you. So I can live in that. Or I can live in this. And I know this. When I live in my insecurities, I throw it on everyone else. I throw it. I want to create my home to feed my insecurities. But see, when you get made whole, you're not that. You don't want to control everything outside of you. You don't have to. We were talking about it the other night, myself and Sharon. Because I was so insecure, I used to come home. I wanted security at home so bad that I made Sharon's life miserable. As a Christian. Because I was living out of an old mindset. That I wanted my home to be so secure that if it didn't, and it was secure, but my insecurity wouldn't let me see it was secure. Someone who loves me, who's mad about me, who you wouldn't believe. Truly. If I go to the shop, she just wants to come to the shop with me. That's how much she loves me. Can I just go in the car with you? For what? I just want to be with you. Hello? And yeah, I was so insecure, I was ruining it. Because I was living out of insecurity, I was living out of the old man, I was living out of that. But I'm not supposed to live there anymore. When my mind says she doesn't love you, I'm supposed to shut it down and say, you're wrong. In fact, what am I even doing talking to a dead man? Crazy people speak to the dead. What am I doing? But when we're raised with him, I know what I'm trying to say. We don't have to go through life dragging a dead carcass behind us. We don't have to. We can let the old man go, recognize him dead, yet we're being transformed. But in God's eyes, we're already there. So in God's eyes, we're already there with him, fully sanctified. And yet while we're here on earth, that we're going through the process of letting go of the old fella. Corner off, you're brown bread, you don't know me anymore. I'm a new creation that's in Christ Jesus. I'm letting that go, and as I'm letting that go, I'm letting go, and in faith I'm stepping into the new man, and my mind is being transformed, my behavior is being transformed, because he didn't call us to live a half-baked life. Jesus says this is what's on offer, that you can have life in all of its fullness. That's challenging. I don't know about you. I look at me and I go, my goodness, Jesus, I'm probably a quarter of it. But I'm letting them go. Come on, Noel, with your old friends. I don't stay in graveyards. Come on, Noel, and listen to your old stuff. I don't stay in graveyards. Because that's what it is. That he completed the job when he rose again. So that we don't have to do. There's corrections, there's improvements, there's growth and grace along the way. But he died that we might be cleansed. He died that we might be pure. He died so that we could have a victorious life here on earth. Here on earth. Because this power is available to us, we must not and we should not settle for a half-lived, half-free, half-delivered, half-full of joy, half-full of hope anymore. We must not, we should not live for a half-filled life. Do you know, when Rob was saying that, this is the revelation I got when Rob was just saying that word when he said it. That it's not like I'm dead, right? And I get up out of the grave and I'm moving towards life. See, you know, like, I'll make myself better, or I'll cut this off, or I'll work on that. It's like, I'm working my way to get this life. See, what Rob said and what I read in this, that we're moving from life. Do you get me? Like, we're moving from life. It's like, I'm not working to get this life. I actually have this life. And I'm walking from this life that inside I am brand spanking new. You couldn't believe how shiny I am on the inside. Truly, because I'm a new creation. So as I'm walking from that point, so all of my behaviors, all of my thinking, when that life is being let go through, do you get me? So this life, I'm not looking to get this life. I have this life. I just have to let it work its way from the inside to the outside. And the Holy Spirit, the resurrection power of God starts pointing out. See that? See that? That's the old man. I'm 22 years a Christian. I'm telling you, my old man is still alive. But I know him now. I know his voice. Buy into hatred, and the new man is like, no, love. Hold bitterness, and the new man says, no, forgive. It's like, wow, and then the battle is on. And whatever dog you feed, it's the dog that will win it. If I feed the old dog, I'm telling you what, I'll hate you all. Especially you. Don't get freaked out. Everyone's like, did he point at me? And see, when we live in that, then you think everyone hates you or dislikes you. But all it is you're not letting the new nature come through. Because I like to be liked. But when I found that God liked me, I have such insecurity. I'll tell you that after, if you don't talk to me. But I'm more secure when I know that he loves me. I don't have to win your approval. But I'll have to gain and do things just to gain your love. In fact, if that new life is coming out of me, you will love me. And you will be able to love, and I'll be able to love because of the resurrection power of Jesus. And if you haven't got it, in the old days, like I was reading Leonard Ravenhill. If anyone's read Ravenhill, he's black and white to the max. He'd be like, you sin, out. But there's a call, there has to be a call that we know that sin is wrong. And sin robs us of new life. And sin breaks it down, how cuddly and how satisfying it is to the old nature. It's robbing us of new nature. And that when we read the Bible and it says sin is sin, it's saying sin is sin because it's robbing you of the new life that God has for us. And it'll rob you of a relationship with him. Because it will tell you can't go back near them, which is a lie. But in the old days, Leonard Ravenhill, I was reading him, and he was saying that in the old days, like, you'd go to church, right? And you were so hungry, and you had such a raw conviction. Do you know what he said? Now, Ravenhill has gone a good number of years. But you know what he said? He says, back when in his day, that people are not getting saved the way they used to get saved. People are not becoming Christians the way they used to become Christians. So you read on when you read that stuff. What does he mean? Because somehow we have a habit of like just saying, you know, like giving pop psychology or giving, you know, answers like, or like just get Jesus and you get forgiveness, which you do, or you just get joy, which you do. But he was saying that in the old days that the Christians used to come to church, and if they were dealing with something in their life or something wasn't happening, if the old nature was winning through, they would say to the deacons, can we just stay and wait on God? And he used to call them tarrying meetings. Tarry means to wait. And they say to the deacons of the church, you're not off duty till they get an answer from God. And they were so raw in their conviction and hunger for God that he'd stay for hours and hours. Some wailing, some waiting in quietness, some walking up and down. But the deacons were probably looking at their watches. Lord, will you hurry up? The roast is on. But they'd wait and wait and wait till they got what they needed from God. What I'm trying to say is, okay, we don't have tarrying meetings. It doesn't mean you can't tarry. It doesn't mean you can't wait before God. Lord, this is killing me. And I don't seem to be having the victory. Well, get before him. Get before him tomorrow. Lord, I'm not selling for this because the resurrection of Jesus tells me that I don't have to live in this. Therefore, you have the answer. You have the healing. You have the freedom. You have the joy. You have the freedom that I need for my mind, for my thinking. You've given me a Holy Spirit. That's like, we don't let him go till we have it. Till we say, Jesus, remember what I was saying the other night? When it comes to the things of God, we can be, in a sense, selfish in this way. When he's pouring out his Spirit, we should be like kids that getting sweets. Me, 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 me. So it's not like, I want you to be free, sorry. Me, 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 me. I want more. If you ask for a piece of bread, he won't give us a stone. If I ask for a piece of meat, he will not give us a snake. So how much more will he give us the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Like, me, Lord, I'm not free. I'm not free. I want to be free. I want them to search every nook and cranny of this body and this mind and this heart till I'm free. Till I have what he says he has that. And do you know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get it. Do you know why I'm going to get it? Because I want it. Do you know why I'm going to get it? Because I keep knocking. I keep asking. I keep seeking him. I want the Lord. I want the Lord. I want the Lord. Amen. Resurrection power. Some of us are like the man that I read about, a Scotsman. He says, I was the kind of guy who wanted to get the world right. He was a communist, actually. He says, I was the type of guy that wanted to get the world right, but I wasn't right myself. And he said, it was when Jesus came in and made changes in my life that I could make changes to the world around me. He says, I discovered that the resurrection power of Jesus met me personally. It met me spiritually. It met me domestically in my home. It met me socially with my relationships. It says the resurrection power went right through me that affected every single aspect of who I am as an individual. That the gospel and the power of Jesus, that's why the same Paul who got knocked off his horse, who met Jesus, who experienced resurrection power, you know what he said in Philippians? I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. Paul was beaten up, pressed down, persecuted, abandoned. And he says, look, I know I've experienced all these. But he says, he's not abandoned me. He says, I get knocked down, but I get up again. Was he? Because he was a superhero, because he had resurrection power. I've been a pastor and a leader for 22 years. As soon as I got saved, as soon as I became a Christian, I was in ministry. Because I didn't know anything else. Someone ministered to me and I went and ministered to someone else. That's the way it's supposed to be for us all. There's no one special. We're all special. There's no special ministers. It's available for us all. We all have the resurrection power in us. Where was I saying that? Oh, yeah. And I've seen people have incredible difficulties. I've seen people being hurt. I've seen Christians who've lost loved ones. I've seen people who've lost battles. I've seen people who have been crushed, persecuted, and I've also seen them standing tall. I also see them come back. I also seen them find strength in God. I also seen them find their joy in God. I also seen them come back from horrible situations, come back to serve the living God. Do you know why? The resurrection power was in them. That's why they still stand. That's why Paul says, I'm abandoned. I'm persecuted. I'm knocked down. I've been in the fields. I've been in the rivers. I've been starving. I've been whipped. And you know what he says in Ephesians? Stand firm. You're like, how could he do all that? Because he had the resurrected power, the living God living inside of him. That's how he done all of that. I want to finish. In Hebrews it says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their life and imitate their faith. Do you know why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he says. Look, I remember when I became a Christian and my other friends start going backslidden. I remember people would say to me, yeah, but look at such and such. He told me about Jesus yesterday and he's back using heroin. And one day I found strength. You know what I said? Look at me. I didn't mean to sound cocky. I don't mean to sound arrogant. But it says, I'm not gone back. It's amazing how we can look at all those and justify where you're at in God. Where Hebrews says, no, imitate those who are imitating Jesus and imitate their faith. And you know the knockdowns and the downputs. And you know the gossip about them. And you know what they sacrificed to go and serve Jesus. He says, imitate them. Don't imitate the wrong ones. Because you become like them. But look to somebody. Look to someone who's lost loved ones and still believe in Jesus. Look to someone that you know the damage that's in their lives and are still believing in Jesus. Look to those who are delivering ministry from God to the world and imitate them. Don't look to the one. Remember the ones. Consider their way of life and imitate their faith. You can do this because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Resurrection power to impact our lives. You know why? Because he wants us to impact our world. That's he. You know, he says to Abraham, I will bless you and make you a blessing. He gives us resurrection power. We experience the blessing of it. But it's for you to be a blessing. It's for you to be the story of Jesus, living in victory, living in joy. Living when the things are going wrong and you're still pressing through. That's the resurrection power. So that the world will look at us and they'll say, here, what's going on with them? The world will listen to us when we know that we're not like saying there's nothing going on. But yet there's a lot going on. But I'm standing firm. I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm holding on. Even when I can't hold on, I'm hanging on to someone else that's hanging on. That's what Paul says, imitate them. Look, imitate their way of life. If you're not hanging on, find someone who's hanging on and hang on to them. There's times when we need that, don't we? There's times when you come into a meeting and there's someone hanging on and you go, I can hang on to their coattails. Their encouragement, or you come in and someone just says something and it calms everything in you. You're hanging on to them. And believe me, our world needs to see this. And because of the resurrection, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus rose from the dead. He says, go and wait. Let's stand. We're going to finish. Let's stand. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem. I'm going to pour out my spirit. The same spirit that rose me from the dead is going to come. And it's going to come on you with power. And you're going to impact the world. And do you know what Jesus said? You know what he said to Peter? He says, you're going to impact the world. You're going to disciple nations. You're going to walk on scorpions and snakes. You're going to cast that devil out of people. You're going to lay hands on the sick. You're going to see them made well. You're going to see people brought into the kingdom of light. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and he says, hey, they says, what's going on? And he says, hey, this is what the prophet said. This is the day when the Spirit is getting poured out on everybody. Absolutely everybody, your sons and your daughters, they will have visions and dreams and all men and everyone will prophesy. That's like, it's this pouring out of the Spirit. This is, why did he pour out the Spirit? Because he gave us a mandate to impact the world. How are we going to impact the world? By being impacted by him and as a result, impacting the world. By being blessed so that we can bring the blessing to the world. You can bet your bottom dollar that God wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your life. It's a guarantee because he wants to make you a blessing. That you're fully recipients of God's blessing into your life. So if something in you saying, God won't bless me, that's the old man. Bring him to the graveyard. Hit him with his shovel. Tell him he's a liar. And some people say this, it's the devil, the devil, the devil. Tell you what, it's the devil, the old man. It's the old man. And if you deal with the old man, you'll find out the devil was nowhere near us. It's like we blame the devil on everything when we should be putting something to death. Really. And we keep doing that. We keep casting out and binding and loosening something that's not there. You're still going to be the same way. But he's given us the Holy Spirit. So that we can overcome. And Jesus paints a great picture in Luke 5. And he says to them, cast your nets out. And they cast their nets out and they caught in a great catch. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out. And it says it was all different kinds of fish in the net. And then in Pentecost day, it says that there was people there from all parts of the world. And a net was cast out, not physically this time, but a spiritual net, and 3,000 was caught in to the net and brought into the kingdom. And Jesus painted a picture before resurrection, and he showed them the demonstration of after the resurrection. And it wasn't Jesus now doing this, it was the disciples. It was the people of God, who was us. What was the difference? The Holy Spirit was poured out. What made Peter turn from a fearful man to a man that stood up in front of the whole of Jerusalem? It was resurrection power. What caused Paul to turn from killing people to actually bringing the gospel of salvation to the best part of the known world? The resurrection. What does God want to do with you? What does he want to do with me? He wants to fill us so that we can be impacted and as a result live out what he's called us to do. And Lord, we just say, like those people of old, we will wait, we will tarry, we will chase you, We will seek you. Father, create such a hunger in us. Create such a hunger in us. And you know what? Don't do your Christianity long distance. Don't do it long distance. Don't do it through the internet. Don't do it through television. Do your Christianity in church and out of church to the world. Because you don't have to put certain things to death when you're looking at a screen. Or I might press your old man's button and hatred comes up. And the Holy Spirit says, no, don't hate Noel, deal with the old man. And that can't happen on a screen. Don't do a long distance. That's why Hebrews writer says, don't give up meeting together. Spur one another on me. So Father, we just say today, well, I can say for me, I'm hungry, Lord. And I want more of you, Lord. And I want change. And I want the dynamic of the resurrection power to be in my life, Lord. So I now have the power to actually put the old man to death. I don't have to put him to death, Lord, in my own self. But Lord, I'm coming from the place of life. I'm coming from the place of being full. And therefore, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. And Lord, I just pray for your people, Lord. Do you know, just as a way of acknowledgement before God. Just let's close our eyes. But that, like, let's go back to one of those old meetings. There's something you need freedom from that has dogged you. And you've tried. Just say it to the Lord. Lord, I want that resurrection power. I need it, I desire it, I claim it, I take it. It's mine, it's my inheritance. I release it. If you're a Christian, it's already in you. I release it. And this will not plague me anymore. That the spider doesn't frighten me, I crush him in Jesus' name. I crush him in Jesus' name. That the addiction doesn't hold me, I crush it in Jesus' name. That the hatred doesn't hold me, I break it. That the fear of stepping out and living out my destiny in Jesus, I break that. I break it in Jesus' name. Lord, this is it, Lord. This is the times, Lord, when your people stand before you, Lord God. And Lord, that you come in and you just, in one moment, encounter, Lord. We encounter the reality of the resurrection, O God. We encounter, Lord, the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. We encounter the forgiveness of God that's in Christ. We encounter the joy that is in Christ Jesus. We encounter the life that is in Christ Jesus. We encounter the freedom, Lord, that is in Christ Jesus. In these moments, O God, that we encounter the liberation that comes from knowing you, O God. Now, Father God, move through us, O God. Release resurrection power in new ways, O God. Now, Lord, we stand this day, Father God, as a body and says, Lord, bless us so that we can be a blessing to this city, Lord. Bless us so that we can be blessings to other people, O God. Free us up, Lord, so that we can be heralds of freedom, O God. That we can be the voice that says to other people, no, there is freedom. And Father, give us ears to recognize the voice of that old nature that robs us of being new, Lord. That we step into resurrection power. We step into it. We make a conscious decision. See, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, those clothes that he wrapped him in, he just came out through them. They were left there. The old grave clothes, he rose up through them. The seal of Caesar couldn't hold him in the grave. The stone couldn't hold him. The soldiers outside couldn't hold him. He just says, I'm out of here. And I pray just like that, Father, I release your people to say to the old clothes around them, I'm out of here. Boom. I'm beside myself. I'm beside my old self. And Lord, there would be a resurrection this morning. There would be a raising up this morning. There would be a raising up this morning, oh God. There would be a raising up. I throw that off like an old piece of grave clothes. That doesn't belong on me anymore. I don't live at that address anymore. I'm moving out of this street. I'm moving out of that place. In Jesus' name, I will not do this in my own strength because that's part of the detour. That's part of the fraud of the old man that says, yeah, do this, do that, do this, try this, do this, do this. No, I'm just believing, I'm standing. If Jesus says do it, do it. But I'm not going to walk my way up to get the life. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm waiting for the life to burst open inside of me. And I'll move out of that place. I'll move out of that place. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, give us a mindset that will not settle. Why should I when I can keep on walking for that? Why should I when I can keep on believing God for something?